Years ago, when I was a baby in the Lord, I heard Leroy Imes speak. How many of you have ever read anything by him? If you've not, he's got, if you've got a teenager, he's got a book called Be the Leader You Were Meant to Be. And it just, it so charged me as my in my baby infant faith and taught me so much. So Leroy Imes, I went to the conference, the first conference I could go to. I may have been, I can't remember, I'm 20, 21, 22, but young. And he opened my eyes to a verse in Nehemiah 9:3. So if you got your Bible, if you wouldn't mind, please turn there. Nehemiah 9:3. Hey, Gene, and when you read it, would you mind to stand up? Y'all will get it when she reads it.
No wonder you wanted me to stand. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God.
Now, would you turn? You don't even need to. Just turn to, because this won't be hard to find, Luke 4:16.
Okay, Luke 4:16. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read.
That's it. But that's what hit me. And every time Leroy Imes read the Bible, he had us all stand up, which is why I've got you all a copy of Psalm 148. So can we stand as a custom that is exactly what Jesus did and read Psalm 148 together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly host. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord. You sound great.
And He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
From the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths.
Lightning.
And hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding.
You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, young men, old men, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth, and He has raised up the praise of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. And all God's children said, thank you so much for doing that. Please be seated. Father, we honor you in standing as we thank you for teaching us that really all of life is about praise. And we acknowledge that everything that our flesh brings makes us want to curse and not praise. Forgive us, Lord. But I pray tonight that all of us will get excited in our spirit, man, that it is a part of our legacy to worship the Lord. I thank you, Father, that while you've had this psalm on my heart, praising sun and earth and stars. That last night, that the moon was the biggest it is in a year. I pray that we would see that behind that is the heartbeat of God that is crying out to us to just look up and at night see the stars and the moon, and in the day see the sun. And I thank you for Jeremiah 31:35 that says, as long as the sun is in the sky, as long as the moon is in the sky, that's how long I will look over you and love you, saith the Lord. And all God's children said, teach us, God, to see you in the detail. Teach us to see you in a butterfly. Teach us to see you in a tree, waving in the wind, clapping its hands for the glory of God. It has been my heart and Kathy's heart and the heart of our ministries that we would spend 4 Mondays in June learning about what is worship and how can we make it more personal and intimate and real for all of us. And Father, it is our prayer. It is our prayer. It is our heart cry that all of us would realize, I raised my hand. I need to learn more about that. I want to learn more about that. I get it that there is so much I need to learn about that, but I sign up to learn about that, Lord. And I thank you that you hear me. I thank you that you see my hand raising. I thank you that you understand that I am your child, but I'm a sheep and I need a shepherd. And I thank you that you are such a great shepherd. And that you love us, Father, unconditionally. I thank you that you not only love us unconditionally, but unhesitantly. And I thank you, Father, that we can count on you, that your loving kindness starts brand new every day. So I thank you, God, tonight that all of us, everybody in this room, can take a fresh breath of grace. And we can take comfort in knowing that if we have messed up every single second on the clock of every minute of the day up till this minute, that you will give us a fresh start. Great is thy love. Great is thy mercy. Great is the expanse of our God. Great is our God. Bigger and broader and greater than anything we know or see or understand. But we sign up to learn about that God. And I pray for everybody, Father, that's in the room that knows Jesus, that they would understand that it is in the vault, that their legacy is settled, that you have a plan for their life and that it is for their welfare and not for their calamity, that they will have a future filled with hope. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit of the living God would just fall afresh. Let your glory fall tonight, Lord. Let your glory fall. And I pray that it would fall personally and intimately for everybody here. And I ask you, Father, that you would give each of us our own personal experience, whatever it needs to be. We thank you, Father, that you have told us that we are victors and not victims. And I pray, Father, that any place that Satan's trying to make us feel like a victim, that we would stand up and say, no, because of Calvary, because of the resurrecting power of Jesus, that the same resurrecting power of Jesus that was available to him is available to me, and I rise up. Up to give you glory, I rise up to worship you. I pray that you would teach all of us a little bit more about worship. I thank you that you love and accept all of us right where we are. I thank you that you loved me when I was 18 and 16 before I was saved and suicidal, and 19 when I learned another new truth, and 20 when I learned about the power of standing up to honor your word. I thank you that you love me at 60 when I still cry out with the same people. Father, your love never fails and knows no limit and deeper than the ocean, higher than the sky. I thank you that the best is yet to be for those of us that know you. And we pray, Father, for those that don't know you, that they would sense your hunger to woo them into an intimate, personal relationship.
relationship with them. And I pray, Father, that for those that are here or those that are listening by the tape or Kathy's blog, I pray, Father, that they would hear the truth that you said. Hey, if you would just listen, I am knocking on the door of your heart. And all you've got to do is say, please come in. And I will come in and I will sup with you and you and me, which meant we'll have tea, we'll have dinner, we'll be in us, we'll connect, and you'll understand the true meaning of family and belonging. For I write on my hand, you belong to me. Father, we thank you for this night that's dedicated to learning and growing in worship and praise. And it is our heart's cry that we would be on the edges of our seat with a sense of expectation and that we would abandon our comfort zones. And Father, I thank you that there is no judgment. And this is not about, are you a hand lifter or not? Oh, God, help us to not be caught up in any of that stuff. That it would just be our honest heart cry to you. I thank you that makes your face shine. As you talk about in Numbers, may the face of the Lord shine because of you. And just like any earthly mom or dad that loves their children, I thank you, Father, that all of us could take a breath of just deep acceptance that tonight when you look at every single person that's here, your face is shining. And you are glad they are here because it is your will that they are here. And you are pleased that they are here. And you are pleased that I am here. And you are pleased that my team is here. And you're pleased that Kathy is here and her team is here. And that all of us need a hug from Jesus. And so, Lord, I sign up. Both my hands are raised. I sign up for my personal hug from Jesus tonight. And I thank you that you see, you know, and care exactly what that may look like for each person. And it is beautiful, Father, regardless of how it is defined in human terms. I thank you, God, that you are so beyond human terms. And I pray, Father, and believe, Father, that before this night is out, we will all get that in a new dimension. And all God's children say, God's had this thing on my heart about imparting a legacy. It's not something I came up with. It is something that He has not let me let go of. What He has told me to tell you again and again, that anything you hear in our midst, or anything you hear from our teaching, or anything that you hear or read or are taught by a pastor or a teacher that is biblically sound, it is your legacy. That you don't have to stand back and look at somebody's life and say, gosh, I wish that would happen for me. That the right way to look at anything that happens in your midst, any story, any testimony you read, any testimony you hear is go, wow, God, if you'll do that for her, if you'll do that for him, you'll do that for me. And that's what happened to me as a baby in the Lord when I read Corrie ten Boom's books. And she talked about that no pit is so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And it earned my ear because she said that from a POW camp while she was watching people being burned just because some hateful, demonically led leader and terrified sheep followed and dishonored God and dishonored those whom God died for, God's chosen. We've all got to ask ourselves, why did I not receive everything that Jesus came to earth to show to me? It's God so loved the world that He gave His Son so that you and I today, this day, this Monday night, this moment, with our life circumstances, might know that.
And you know, we got this whole thing and the whole story that I talked about Home Depot, and they built it for me. They stayed late, they did overtime, they gave me $40 more than I paid for the lock, and that all of us have all these promises locked in a vault, and that it is our legacy because of what Jesus did for us, and all we've got to do is put the right numbers in, and it opens up. Every promise in the book is yours. And I remember when I heard Corrie Ten Boom in person in 1977 on the 10th of March, and she held up the Bible and said, "There are 33,000 promises in this book. I am a victor. I am not a victim, and you are too because of Jesus," and all God's children said. Do you understand it makes a difference in how you think about life if you understand that you are a victor? If you live like a victim, it invites victimization around you, right? It's like a magnet. And so God wanted us to spend these four Mondays in June to focus on worship and to focus on imparting to you a legacy. And the prize tonight, which we'll use the little cards you filled out, and I don't know if we've taken them up yet. Have we taken them up yet? We have not taken them up yet. But so I've had this thing about the tree of life. For about a year and a half, God has given me this passion, and everywhere I'm buying things that look like trees. I'm buying lamps that look like trees. I mean, it's like me. That's what I do, because it reminds me of things that stir my heart. So everywhere in my lot, in my house, I could walk you through every room and go, oh, the reason I have this is because Jesus told me that, and the reason I have this is because... And so I saw this last night at dinner. And I looked at that, and Laurie said, "There it is, Debbie, there's that tree." And I said, "There it is, there's that tree." And it's got the verse, "God's promises are new every morning," in Lamentations 3:25. And I thought, you know, I'm buying that. And when I bought it, I thought, well, I'm going to buy it. I'm just going to have it just to remind me of this thing that God will not release me from that I'm impassioned about. But the more I thought about it, I thought, no, I'm going to buy it and I'm going to give it away to encourage, to impart, to be a symbolic thing to impart. But here's the cool thing. So, it's Cracker Barrel. So, you go. It wasn't like the high-end place to eat. And I could probably go through and buy 50 things that have some symbolic thing. But this was the thing. But here's what was unique. When I went to pay for it, the girl looked at it. She read it. Now, you got to know that pretty much almost every time I bless a meal, I ask the Lord to bless it, and then I'll say something like this. And Lord, I pray that you'll make me sensitive to your moments. I pray that you will love those that prepare it, that you will bless those that serve it, that you will open up any conversations that you want to. I pray that for any like prizes you want to give in the night to remind me of who you are. But it's not about a prize. It's about my love affair. It's about using ordinary moments to remind me about what really matters. So I really wasn't even, I mean, I expect, but because I pray that all the time, I'm content whatever he does. I'm content whatever he does. He wants to show it in a way that's measurable, that's fine. But I trust that he's showing it whether I can measure it or not. And I am content equally with either one. It's not a test to God. It's an opportunity for him and an opportunity for me. So I'm ready to pay. You know, it's that your time. I want to go. I've got some editing work to do for tonight. I've got, you know, I'm like done with my mindset. Okay, pay. And the girl just kept staring at it. And then she said, what is this? And I'm thinking to myself, well, it's pretty obvious. It's a little wall plaque. It's got a tree on it. It's got some horses. I mean, I thank the Lord that I didn't say, it's a tree, you know. And you hang it, you know, by this little thing on the, you know, it's like a $15 tree, you know. And she just kept staring at it and looking at me, and I went, oh, my gosh, this answered my thank you for the food prayer. You know, I said, oh, well, I've been excited about our legacies and the things that have been imparted to us from the Lord. And this to me was just another way to remind myself that in the tree of life, it's not Herbert and Lucille Woods, though that is part of it. It's God the Father, it's Abraham, it's Jesus, it's all of you, that a part of my inheritance is something that is a benefit that I can embrace every day. Well, you can imagine that she didn't just go, okay, fine. I mean, it was a powerful moment and a precious reminder to me that God is ready to do that for us every single second of every single day, which has been, if I left any legacy to you, I would want to leave that to you, because this is something I've enjoyed since 1971. But you have to look for that and believe that. So Kathy and I were talking a little bit. Hold on. All right. I've got about 4 minutes to prep you for a little clip I'm going to show you. We were talking about stumbling blocks to our worship experience, of that where it says in John 4:24 that God would want us, he's looking for worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And I've had this conversation with many people I love and people I've walked alongside. And we talked about what are some of the things that block us from worshiping in spirit and in truth. Now, I want to just throw that out to y'all about why do you think sometimes we have a difficulty in singing, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. So why do you think sometimes that song comes on and we have a battle? What would battle us about just entering in to that worship experience? We don't feel that way. And because we don't feel that way, what does it come in conflict with for us? Truth. So the liar tells you, well, because you aren't feeling all gooey about loving God with all your heart and rejoicing with him, then it's not true. And so all of a sudden, truth has become higher than love. And truth has become an idol, right? And so what God wants me to impart to you is this great treasure that I found behind this wonderful vault that became mine and is yours and is your legacy, is I love God because I received Jesus on the 18th of January, 1971, and Christ himself through the person of the Holy Spirit embedded himself in my soul, and he loves God, and everything about my relationship with God is based on that, and all God's children said. So I can sing, I love you, Lord. I can do that with integrity because I'm saved. Do you understand the only thing you can do with integrity is because you're saved in faith? It's not in feelings. Listen, I don't want somebody to love me when they feel like loving me. I want people to run alongside me that love me because they're called to love me. And they understand that's the highest love. It's got nothing to do with feelings. And that it can be an operation regardless of how you feel. Your walk with God, here's your best news you could ever hear. You never have to feel ooey-gooey about God for it to be authentic. However, once you understand that, guess what happens to your feelings? They marry that, and that makes it more healthy. Feelings are the last thing. The engine is the truth, thus saith the Lord. And there are cars behind the engine, the Word of God, lifting up your voice, praying and faith. Feelings are the caboose. This train can run with or without the caboose, but you never want the caboose to run the train, right? So I was talking to Kathy, and we talked about some of the things. And one of the things we thought that was be a blockage to our worshiping with abandon. And we're sharing these things so that when we worship tonight, you can enter in and make Satan mad. Is guilt and shame. And we've already talked about there's no condemnation. And we've talked about that it's not about feeling, because it is hate versus faith. Faith by faith. Law by faith. Shame by faith. All that we do is by faith that our God is God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one true way. And we've all, if we're saved, have signed up for that. So we can, with abandon, sing it as if there is no tomorrow. You are rooted and grounded in love. That's in the vault. It's an inner vault for me. That God loves me and I love Him. Sometimes that's with overwhelming feelings that makes me want to take my shoes off and fall on my face. And many times it is without those feelings, but overwhelming faith that makes me so excited that my feelings are never going to be able to steal that from me because of my great abiding assurance of there is no power on earth and no devil in hell that can steal that. And so we're going to sing songs and we're going to play songs and we want to turn that around on Satan. We want to know that when I sing, I sing it. I need to know that. Sometimes I'm really aware of a situation that I need him to intervene in right that time. And so it's like, I've been hearing this. And then I bless you, Lord Jesus. So we spent 4 Mondays in June talking about worship, but also that drawing near to the heart of God. And the Bible tells us that if I draw near to God, then correct, what happens? So you see me about whatever, you bring whatever. And I'm just going to read these verses to you. And I'm not, I don't want you to get distracted, so write it down. Please write it down. I need to quit and play with it. Deuteronomy 34 says, if your outcasts are at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. From the farthest place. But the New Living says this, though you are at the ends of the earth, the Lord your God will go and find you and bring you back again. The Amplified says, if any of your people are an outcast, your children, your people, those whom you love, I'll go out there and find them and bring them back from there. And one of the songs that Kathy's going to lead us in is a soaking song about being near to God. So I encourage you to believe that tonight is just for you, as we approach it. Recently, I don't know if y'all are like me, but we get a lot of emails and certainly a lot of Facebook messages and texts, et cetera, going, oh, you got to see, this is the greatest video that ever happened. This is the most godly video. This is the most, you got to watch this. And I'm going to tell you that I do not go listen to everyone that's telling me. In fact, I have to pray against an attitude of going, please quit sending it, and not from y'all, but I listen to everyone y'all recommend. But do y'all get those that are just from random people saying, oh my gosh, this is the most godly rendition of this song that's ever happened? And it's just, it loses its power. But recently, Louis Giglio video was shared on Facebook and via emails, and I got a lot of opportunities to see these, but this is one that I felt like that I should watch. And I was personally touched by it, and it felt like it was a perfect fit for what we're doing in the Four Mondays in June. And beloved, I tell you, there was never a time in my life that I didn't need this focus of this video that talks about worshiping God with a dimension and a perspective that I don't have the education or haven't spent the time to learn how to do it. In the video, he sets the stage by saying, we are here tonight worshiping a God that is far beyond anything that we could ever dream of or imagine. We are here to worship a God of huge, massive grace and glory. And he said that he believes that our view of God will be expanded before we leave tonight, and I agree. And that he is able to hold on to us and hold us together no matter what circumstances will come our way in this lifetime. Amen. He goes on to talk about Psalm 148 and said how Psalm 148 was in him. And the story in the nutshell is the heavens declare the glory of God. Let sun and moon and stars declare, alleluia. And I thought, how interesting that while I'm studying for this, that last night it was the biggest moon of the year. And Jeremiah 31:35 again, as long as the moon is out, as long, it is not uncommon for me in my life, it is not uncommon. If I'm struggling with knowing that I'm loved by God, I'll go outside. If it's the day, I'll look for the sun. I'll go, I'm okay. And if it's at the night, I'll find the moon and go, I'm okay. Because as long as the moon is in the sky, as long as the sun is in the sky, I'm okay. And then he went on to say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. And light came out of the mouth of God, and it filled the universe with a dynamic light show. And I thought, I have a new appreciation of why God said, and that was good. We've got a clip that we're going to see where he begins to show us stars and tells us about it. And eventually he shares some information that I'd not heard, but have greatly appreciated. So, Laurie, if you would hit play. I pray that you bless Kathy as she comes and bless us through her. Thank you for all of her heart, preparation, the things she has to share with us. May we be transformed in these minutes together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. Okay. All right, ladies. Drawing near to the heart of God. I've got to believe that that is really what each and every one of us has as the deepest cry of our hearts. We may not be in touch with it every second of every moment, but that is what we were made to experience, is nearness to God. And it's fun to look back over these 4 weeks and see how God has just personalized and how he's put these little surprises along the way, these personal moments, these themes and threads that we couldn't anticipate when we started. I mean, we just knew we wanted to get some women together that loved the Lord and that wanted to get to know him and wanted to draw near to him. And then we just figured we'd discover that as it happened. And one of the things that I enjoyed is kind of looking back. I tend to do this when I prepare, is to look back and see where we've been. And I thought I really did pray that we would have some new people. Wanted to kind of revisit some of the stops along the way that will lead us kind of to the conclusion tonight. And the thing that was a surprise that I really hadn't counted on was this thing about doors. And, you know, Jean Costner Thomason taught the first night. And, y'all, we really, talking about logistics, I was on the phone at 4:30 going, Debbie and I were having a powwow about logistics. And, of course, she came in, she was exuberant and joyful. She signs everything joyfully. And we saw that she really does live a heart that rejoices in the Lord. And it's just a praiser way down deep, and that was a real blessing. And she said in the blog that she wrote for the website, and she also said it in her lesson, and she also put it on the handout, Psalm 100, verse 4. And I want to share it with you from the Bible in basic English, which means to me, if I want to know the most literal, if I wanted to tell a six-year-old what this verse means, that's the version I go to in my Bible search engine. So you ready for Psalm 100, verse 4 in the Bible in basic English? It says, come and enter his doors with joy. That just so did it for me when I looked it up. Come into his doors with joy and into his house with praise. So that is the very beginning point of having nearness to God and intimacy of God with God. It's through the avenue of thanksgiving and praise. So we talked about that at length. We talked about all the ways we solved in order to do that, and how that when we do these things, we praise the Lord. It says it so many times that there's such a richness of the expressions that we can use. It's like 7 Psalm 65 verse 1. So everything from that to this loud trumpets and clapping cymbals and all the things that are more, that you think about as being more celebratory, all those are worship to God. If we do it from a heart of thanksgiving and praise. Then week 2, Debbie brought the doorknob. And we had fun with that, pushing those buttons and watching the lights go off and hearing the sound. And she told us, as she reminded us tonight, that her show and tell basically is telling us that we can get to the riches that are ours in Christ when we use the combinations of principles that are in the Word of God. If we use that master key of faith, just like I get in the pharmacy when I go in early in the morning to get to all the goodies, I have to have that master key in order to get inside to even push the combination to that safe. And faith is the key, that master key that gives us access to all the promises in God's Word. That's, what was it, 33,000 promises in God's Word? I'd never heard of that before.
Well,
man, I love that.
Different people give different numbers, but
I like that. I'll take that number. Or 66 books full, however you want to view it.
I've never counted them.
Me neither, but it'll be fun to discover that, won't it? So last week we talked about God opening doors that can't be shut and shutting doors that can't be opened. And I think that is the message of the vault that Debbie was referring to, is that deep, deep, deep within us. We talked about that verse in Ephesians 3:16 and 17. It says we are strengthened with mighty power by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ dwells in us and is rooted and grounded in love. And it's the Jesus in us that can say with integrity, praise the Lord. I give thanks to you, Lord, in all things. Even in this situation that is tragic, I can give you thanks for this, Lord, because I know you are a God who is so powerful as a redeemer. You are a God who is love. That is your definition. That is the name that describes you in its most basic element. That you are the God that can do, as it says in Romans 8, 28 and 29, is that you can even work this together for good. And that in the process, you're going to make me and mold me more into the image of Christ in the process and bring glory to yourself and goodness to me in that. And so he opens doors that can't be shut. That door is open for us. And tonight, as I was going back over that, I've been in a Sunday school class that is teaching Revelation, and I had sort of realized this, that it's a book about worship. It pictures the throne room of God, y'all. I mean, just all these pictures of what's going on in heaven. You know, just like these whales are singing in the ocean, just like the stars are singing in the sky, there's a constant chorus of worship going on in heaven. And it's been interesting to look at that. And when I was starting to go through that today and earlier last week when I was preparing, the Lord caught my eye. I was going to teach tonight from Revelation 4 and 5, just a few minutes of inspiration there from those worship sessions in heaven. And and I was looking for Revelation 4:1 in my Bible, and my eye caught on this verse. It's Revelation 3:20. And you probably know this, and Debbie and I did not coordinate on this when she prayed that, but this is a verse that talks to us about worship. And this is what it says. It talks about drawing near to the heart of God. And I want to read it to you from the New Living because this is such a familiar passage. It helps me to listen to it sometimes in a different version because I can hear it with new ears. So let's hear Revelation 3:20 from the New Living. It says, look, and this is Jesus speaking, here I stand at the door and knock. If you hear me calling and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal as friends. So did you hear that, what Jesus is saying to us? He's really saying that, yes, there's a door in heaven. It says, Revelation 4:1 says, and I stood, John, and I loved it in the message where John says, and I was in deep worship. And God showed me a door that was standing open in heaven. But right before you get to that door that's standing open in heaven that has the beauty of the throne room of God Almighty, our Father, our Heavenly Father, the verse, two verses before that, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. And the person who gets to open that door of intimacy and being closer to Him and fellowship with Him and the love that He has for you, y'all, it's you and it's me. We have the choice. We are the ones that have our hands on the knob and have to make that choice and invite Him in. So it's like any other action we take. We learned that worship is a heart attitude and praise is an action. It's a verb. So it's like any other choice we make. I mean, that's the highest privilege of us as humans. You realize that's what sets us apart, that God gave us the privilege of choosing. And He did that. I believe one of the reasons He did it is because He wants a relationship. He wants to come in and connect with us as friends. And so if you just make someone who can't have a choice in that, what kind of relationship is that, right? Well, He wants to have a relationship that's close, that's moment by moment. He never wants. My daughter's getting ready to leave to be away for a long, for as long as I know. And y'all, I can't stand the thought of being away from her. Every time I saw Jean Miller at Sunday school, and I hadn't really been thinking about that. I'd been so excited that we broke out into spontaneous song in Sunday school. I was so excited. I thought that was my worship moment on Sunday morning in this very room that we took the passage that we were studying and turned it into a song. It was so awesome. And so I was just loving my Sunday school class, and I walked around and I saw Jean Miller and our girls were going on a trip leaving Thursday, and we were saying, well, how are you feeling about the girls going on a trip? And y'all, it started in my guts and it just rolled up out of my eyelids. It was just a spontaneous response because I want to be close to my daughter. I'm happy for her. I'm thrilled for her. But I, more than anything, I just want to be connected to her. And I think that's the way the Lord must feel about us. I mean, just that may be just a tiny, tiny example of how He wants to be close to us and how He really, really doesn't want to be separated for 1 second from us. So moving on, I wanted to talk about that door that's open in heaven in Revelation. And when you look at Revelation 4, what you see is God on the throne as the object of our worship, and the angels are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they're singing this song. They're singing in verse 11, it says, you are worthy, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. So that is the picture of what worship looks like. And what hit me was the very object of my worship is the very biggest obstacle to my worship. And that's that God is holy, holy, holy. And He is worthy, worthy, worthy. And my biggest barrier, and this has been my journey in this 4 Monday nights in June and in the preparation leading up to that, is realizing, wow, God is worthy and I am so not. And He is so holy and I am so not. And what it requires, I think one of the reasons we don't want to open that door to the Lord is because the thing that our sin separates us from Him. And y'all, it's just the truth. And the great news, though, is that we can turn it around on Satan, and we can turn that obstacle back into an object of worship. It's the very, very most unassailable place we can worship. It's from that place. So, you know, Satan wants to take real, you know, when we are so focused on our unworthiness, our failures, our flaws, our weaknesses, where we've messed up on that same thing yet again, where we have been blind as a bat in our blind spot, and we've just been, you know, embarrassing ourselves and didn't even know it, that's the thing Satan would have us to focus on instead of on our God who is worthy. So let me just, I'm going to abbreviate what I was going to say just to go to Revelation chapter 5. And what it says there is this is Jesus. You know, we looked in chapter 4 at God Almighty, our Heavenly Father who is worthy, holy, holy, holy. And we get to chapter 5, and what we see is there's a problem in heaven. Who can open the book? Who can open the scroll? Who can break the seal? Who can overcome evil? And John wept because he didn't know who could do that. But we see in Revelation 5, and I'll just read you the most essential verses here. Revelation 5, 9 and 10 says, the host of heaven sang a new song saying, "You are worthy, O Lamb, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God." Talking about just turning our unworthiness on its head and making it a place where we can really worship Him, that is so over the top. You know, I was trying to just grasp that, and I was thinking about how God really has given us a way of escape. He wants us to worship integrity. He wants us, you know, every time we do come to that place of entering in, we have the opportunity to realize that God told the truth when He said in 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. That, you know, we do. And will, until heaven, we will struggle with not being perfect on this earth. But what's so wonderful is that the reason that we can say that this is a place of worship is the very verse behind that says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is righteous to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can go in with just in the same way, if you think about it, with just a prayer, you went from dead to alive for all of eternity. So how much more would God not just forgive you of your sin in a moment, just like that? And I think we work too hard at it, and we analyze it too much, and we just think that's too good to be true. But it is the truth. In fact, Jesus said, one of the verses that I meditated on this week was in Matthew. It's Matthew 9, and it's 12 and 13. And Matthew recorded the words of Jesus, and this was said right when Jesus was calling His 12. And I think Matthew got this. Let me read it to you, and then I'll tell you why I think that. Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And y'all, Matthew was the tax collector. Tax collector, that is code word for sinner, scumbag, thief, liar, cheat. That is who Matthew was. And so I looked at the other Gospels. I was really curious. I wanted to know, did anybody else have this in the same order? But he chose to record those words of Jesus. They were recorded in other Gospels, but Matthew put them with the call. Y'all, that is who Jesus came to call, is the sinners, not the righteous. So in that reason to celebrate, can't we just say, thank you, Jesus, that amazing grace, you saved a wretch like me. And so I can just come in, I can take a bath, I can be cleansed, and I can enter in without guilt, without shame, without condemnation. And that is good news. Now let me give you two killer verses that I felt like were specifically for us for this June. When I was asking the Lord back weeks ago before we got started, Lord, I always like to ask, is there a promise I can ask you? Is there a verse I can believe for? Is there a vision that you want to give me for our time? And when I asked him that, the verse I got was this. It was Isaiah 60, verse 13, And this is the B part of the verse. And it says this, I will make the place of my feet glorious. The first part of that verse says, I will beautify my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. And I started thinking about that, and I thought, what an interesting choice, Lord. I like that. And then all of a sudden, it was like the light came on, and I realized what God was doing. He was saying, hey, Kathy, you, or Jean, or Debbie, or Covenant, or Laurie, or the Divine Design leaders, or the hostesses, or the Monday night women, they don't have to do anything to bring the glory and to beautify and make themselves holy. Sit at my feet, and I will make that place glory. I went, oh my gosh, that is so amazing. God, thank you. And then later, I was reading in a very dog-eared devotion book that I have. It's by my favorite author, Andrew Murray. And a lot of times, I will just look at that and think, my favorite one in this whole book is April the 24th. April the 24th is my favorite one. And I was just kind of sitting there thinking about Bible study, thinking, I love Andrew. And I love that book. And I love April 24th. It was like the Lord said, why don't you pick it up and read it? You like it. So I opened it up, and this is what it said. And I will just tell you, I can't say it as well that Andrew says it. But here, I'm going to read the verse that was at the top of the page. And it says this. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who called you. Matthew, Debbie, Kathy, tax collector, scumbag, mama that yelled at her kids, fill in the blank. Faithful is he who called you, and he also will bring it to pass. And here's what Andrew said. He said, think about this. He's saying that God himself, the God of peace, it's his job to make you complete in Christ. It's his job. It's his God to work. But to willing to work for your good pleasure, his good pleasure, it says in Philippians 2:13. It is his job to sanctify and to bring us to a place of completion. That's not even on us. It's just on us to open the door and sign up and to partner with him in it. So I just thought that was so freeing that God is going to beautify the place of his sanctuary. That's us. We're his temple. And he is going to glorify the place of his feet. And that's what we're about to do. So I would like to just take this opportunity to introduce you now to, oh, and I needed to mention the handout because it could be part of what we do in the next 5 minutes. I do this thing called tools and techniques. And basically what it means is when I've looked up every Bible verse on a topic, and I think that, you know, really shouldn't just get lost in a notebook somewhere. I'm going to put that on a handout, and I'm just going to print it out every time we touch on that topic. This is that. This is how God reconciles us. And basically, it gives you so much ammunition. If I had about 3 weeks, we could go through these verses, and we could get good and solid on how Satan has no grounds. He has no legal or spiritual grounds to condemn you. None. Zero. Zippo. Nada. The blood of Jesus, the cross of Christ, is totally and completely sufficient for all the sin of all mankind for all time. So that is what this is. If you want to use this during your soaking time, that's fine, your listening prayer time, whatever you want to call it. But what I'm going to do is, in just a second, I'm going to have Laurie turn on the music just in a very quiet volume. And then I'm going to pray just sort of some prompts that'll kind of allow you to ask some questions. If you want to write in your journal, if you want to just bow your head, if you want to sing along with the music, that's fine. But I'll pray for a couple of minutes. And just basically what we're going to do is we're going to see Jesus standing at the door, and we're going to have an opportunity to just draw nearer to him tonight. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray you'd accept one another through us, Lord. That's impossible for us, but everything's possible with you, Lord. Now, Father, we want to just turn that on ourselves, and I just ask you, Father, is there something that we need to forgive ourselves for? Lord, you say that you forget our sin, that you don't, you put our sin behind your back and you take it as far as the east is from the west and you remember it no more. So, Lord, how much more can we continue to beat ourselves up and condemn ourselves? Lord, we just want to lay that down before your feet, ask you to cover it in the blood. Lord, you say if we confess, you forgive. So, Lord, we confess now. We agree with you that that was sin. And we serve you, notice Satan. That we are forgiven. We are set free because of the blood of Jesus, not by our works that we should boast, but by the work of Christ on the cross. And Lord, we just come now. We see you standing at that door. We see you with your arms open. We see you with your eyes shining. We see you with a smile of acceptance and love on your face, Lord, that you've known us from before the beginning of time. Lord, I pray that you would just give us hearts that are open and full of faith and belief that you love us. We just welcome you, Lord. We just want to open that door to you. And Lord, if there's any issue, any circumstance, any confusion in our hearts about a circumstance, something that we're holding on to or something that we can't understand or we don't have the answers to, Lord, just pray that each person in this room would just release that to you now. Surrender it, lay it at your feet, ask you to redeem it. And Father, for those of us who aren't able to let go today, I just pray that we could pray the prayer. We're willing to be willing. God, make us willing to completely let it go. Thank you, Lord, that we know that's a process, and we surrender for that process. And Father, even in the things that are hardest for us to understand, even in the things that are most painful, Lord, you tell us to give thanks in all things. God, it's hard to do, but we know that the Jesus in us can do it. So, Lord, would you give thanks to yourself through us? Lord, I thank you that what freedom comes when we do that, Lord, that we bow before your all-knowing, that you know the end from the beginning, that you're sovereign, that you're good, that your will is acceptable and perfect for us. Father, we admit that we don't know it all. And Father, for those places where we may be right about the way it feels, but we don't have all the right answers, God, we just want to surrender that to you. And Father, I thank you for this opportunity to just be honest with you. Father, I pray for my sisters. I pray for whatever burden they're carrying, that, Lord, they would know that you say that you would gladly daily bear their burden, that they might take your yoke upon them and learn of you. For your yoke is easy and your burden is light, and they will find rest for their soul, Lord. I pray for each of us as we stand to give worship, Lord, that we would stand in the gap for one another, that we would praise for one another, that we would praise for the families that are represented here. And we will present ourselves, Lord, as living sacrifices as we stand and praise. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we praise you.